Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, September 12th.
Good morning.
And Rachel is here, as always. Nice to brighten the morning, right?
Yes.
And, by the way, today is my mom's birthday. So
Happy birthday, Sam's mom.
Yes, I called her and wished her a happy birthday. And considering how depressed she's been, she sounded pretty happy today. So she figures probably she'll get more attention than usual. Like, she doesn't get enough already, right? Mm-hmm. She makes sure she gets attention, let me tell you. But with all the ailments and all the other bullshit. But at any rate, so how are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Yeah, you in a good mood?
I didn't sleep well last night, but yeah, I'm in a pretty good mood.
Yeah. So you have trouble sleeping?
Just last night. I think it was just too hot.
Oh, really?
I slept at my boyfriend's house. But I don't know if the air conditioning was working.
Yeah. So, wow. Yeah. It was that hot at night? Because for me, it wasn't that bad, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's two of us in that room. We have cats, or he has cats. And so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he also doesn't have, I like to sleep with it cold.
Right.
Like, it has to be freezing in order for me to sleep. Otherwise, I just can't get comfortable.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that's why, like, math class was torturous for me, because I had this one teacher that would purposely turn it down cold because it, like, he thought it would keep people awake, but that it put me to sleep and made me so tired.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny, right? Mm-hmm. Because heat makes me very tired, you know?
And, yeah.
Just you don't feel like doing anything. I mean, I stand in the sun for 2 minutes and I can't stand it.
I know. Well, that's true, too. Like, too hot, falls into too. It has to be like
perfect.
Life is so complicated.
It is, right? In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our guest. We have a special guest today. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about cars and driving and something we're very familiar with here in LA. Of course, the $1,000 iPhone is going to be announced today. So apparently, it's been Apple itself that's been leaking some of the features, you know. But you know what they're saying is Apple is worth now about $850 billion. So they could be the first $1 trillion public company.
Oh, wow.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Is that something or
what?
That's
crazy.
And they started it in their garage with the Apple II.
That's funny.
You know? But it shows you have to be at the right time at the right place and, you know, and have a little ambition.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And
offer something that isn't, you know, you have to offer something that isn't there.
Yeah.
You know, they saw a need for a
personal computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, for people to, and everybody laughed at them, you know, but there you go, you know, it worked. But, and then, you know, I truly think, and I'm probably not the only one, that the iPhone really is what saved them, you know, because for a while they weren't doing that great.
No, you're right.
Know? Yeah. So,
because their computers for a while, like, they were flashy and cool and all these colors, but like Apple's reputation as far as like hard or like software or whatever wasn't, you know, wasn't
right. There was still
as
a
user
niche,
friendly
you know?
As it is and trendy as it was now. It was kind of like, oh, you have an Apple? That's weird.
Because in the beginning, I remember the Mac would cover more like niche markets, like artists, advertisers, you know, graphic designers, engineers, things like that, you know, and then but then all those programs have been ported over to Windows, so people had no need for a Mac,
right?
And that's what happened. And then Steve Jobs came up with the iPhone. I mean, if that doesn't show what a genius he was, I don't know what can, you know.
Right.
And you know what is funny also, because I've read the Apple's history, their story a few times, and What's interesting is that at one point they brought in the CEO who made Apple, like other people could create Macs.
Mm-hmm.
Today you can't, right?
Like,
And for Windows computers, anybody can create a computer. But a Mac, only Apple can. So at the time, they actually gave license to other companies to make it, and it was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So it never took off. But the Apple story is very interesting. I'm very fascinated with this company. And finally, before we get to our guest, do you realize that in the Florida Keys, 25% of the houses have been destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. And now they're even doubting that the bridges can hold, carry the weight. And they're saying just about every home has been affected somehow.
Yeah. I'm glad I got to visit Key West before I left Florida one time.
Can you imagine, you know, going there to retire? You buy yourself some property and stuff, and bam, you know, it's all gone.
I mean, but that's kind of your fault for building in a high level natural disaster zone.
My fault?
No, that's that people who purchased.
That's kind I of thought their, you said my fault.
Well, that's kind of their fault.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, it's a look, they decided to live there, and it's a hurricane.
Right. Right. They knew that, area. Like going in, and I mean.
Yeah. Do you know that some people decided not to evacuate, you mm-hmm. know? And that's crazy.
I have a lot of friends that stayed.
Really?
Yeah.
And they,
Tampa.
They weathered
all
it.
The way down to
but how
Boca
can they
and Fort
know
Lauderdale.
It's not going to affect them, you know?
It's not even that. It's more just they have animals. They don't really, like, their family lives down there. They don't have places to go. Where right. are they going to go?
Well, shelter, you know? No, or something like that.
Mm.
No. I don't know, man. I mean,
but here's
it's
the
like
thing.
They
also live in Florida, and a lot of these people have grown up living through hurricanes. I mean, they have mm. houses that you build that are hurricane-proof or whatever. I mean, obviously, if you live in an evacuation zone and you decide to stay, that's another story. But, again, these are people who know what it's like to live in Florida, what comes yeah. with living in Florida, hurricanes.
Yeah, so they take that into consideration.
Yeah.
Just like we do when
exactly.
we live here
on
and
a
we
fault
have earthquakes.
Line. Yeah.
That's true. But I think if people told us there's going to be an earthquake here, a lot of people might evacuate. I don't know how many people will
it
stay.
It would be impossible to yeah. evacuate a place like this. There's no way. Yeah. It would be, like, same in Florida.
Right.
There's oftentimes one lane. I mean, it's going one yeah. way, going the other, and you get a million people trying to evacuate. That's just as bad as staying.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah, I guess you got to go with your fate. And decide whatever happens, happens. You know, I'll have to weather this.
Mm-hmm.
That's
literally.
True, yeah. Yeah. Well, what can you do, you know? Well, this is not... Did you hear about... This is like... I guess there was on what's his name again? Ted Cruz.
Oh, my God, yes. He got
Twitter
caught watching porn last night.
No, that's not what he got caught doing.
He liked his
account, they're saying, liked...
a pornographic tweet.
Yeah. That by an account that posts videos,
uh-huh.
porn videos. So they're denying this.
To me, that sounds like he got caught watching porn.
Has been removed, yeah. They're not saying, you see, they came out with a statement, but they're not saying how it actually happened.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Let's just call us what it is. He got caught watching porn. What?
But why would he like it, though? Maybe he clicked by mistake.
Are you on Twitter a lot?
No.
I mean, just like with anything,
yeah.
with all these, sometimes you just click something you don't even realize,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think statistically it's bound to happen.
Right.
That's why you got to be careful.
Right. The question is, how does this account come up on his feed in the first place if he, you know, if he doesn't look up like...
No, let me tell you something about Twitter.
Yeah.
Even if you don't follow accounts like this,
right.
if someone you follow or an account you follow...
Or like retweets or something?
Or likes even, now Twitter has it, you will see that on your timeline.
Ah.
So it's very possible to get exposed to other types of content even if you don't directly follow.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Very interesting. I guess they have that on Instagram too,
yeah.
right? They show you what people like and stuff.
If you go to the... Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Very interesting. Well, social media for you, you know?
Honestly, it would probably make him more endearing if he was just like, yeah. You know how relatable that is, though? More so than just, like, lying about it. Because, like, everyone's like, dude, just own up to it, bro. Like,
right,
own up to
something. But this guy's religious, you know? I mean, that's bullshit.
I mean, just like, I'm sure.
People should stay off the internet,
He's religious. His Twitter account, on the other hand.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, folks, that's it for news and things that are happening, whether they're relevant or not. A lot of shit happening in the world. But we're going to get to our guest right now and change gears, no pun intended. We're joined by Reed Berry, who is the traffic guy. Welcome to the show, Reed.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. And I think there was a pun intended there, as right. a matter of fact.
Probably the traffic guy from where? Do you actually do traffic on air?
I teach, not traffic report.
Yeah, he doesn't report the traffic.
Because that
talks
is like one
it.
Of the lowest paid gigs in radio.
I know. Really? Well, reporting. I was going to say, I had an internship in college in iHeartRadio, and like I was working at one of the stations, and I was going around seeing like every type of station, right? And then they had the morning guy in the traffic, and I was just seeing, you know, my mom had to do that back in the day. She had to read traffic in radio.
Really?
I mean, radio, it's all not million-dollar paying, right? But I guess, is that
not
the lowest of the low?
Not everybody gets Rush Limbaugh money, you know? A friend of mine he called me and he told me he had gotten a job doing traffic reports on I think it was KLSX at the time. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, wow, what's that pay? And he goes, $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's not big bucks. But then again, you just sit there and, you know, say traffic on the 101 right. and there's a slowdown at the 405. And, you know, it's not brain surgery.
Do you get to be on the helicopter at least, or you just follow what comes in? As a
no, you just, the people just sit there in a little studio. And generally, doing traffic reporting, they sit in one little studio and do feeds to, you know, a dozen different stations. And then what's funny, and maybe people do or do not know this about LA radio, but a lot of people do traffic reporting and news reporting on different stations using different names.
Right, right.
And
that's
so the
true,
guy,
right?
Yeah,
the same
I used to host a show here in town, and we had a guy that would do the news. And he would come on, his name was one thing, and you change over to another station, his name was another thing. But occasionally they would mix up and use the wrong name.
Oh, no.
You know? Because, I mean, when you use it, you know, it's like, you know, I'm Julie Phillips, and I'm Julie Johnson, and I'm, you know, Bart this, and I'm somebody else. And they would get their names confused. So
that's
like
hilarious.
A little flow chart to see who
right.
you are that day.
Exactly.
But getting back to your question. As the traffic guy, I teach traffic safety classes, suspended license classes, traffic safety expert. I travel around, do keynote speeches
at
safety conferences.
I have been to traffic school. And by been, I mean I went to a website on my computer after I got two speeding tickets in Florida in a row. And I have never gotten in trouble like that until I moved to Florida, where I got like two in a row, and then they're like, cool, you need to go to traffic school.
Right.
Well,
so you did it at
crazy
home.
In Florida.
You did it at home, right? On the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, we used to have to go, right? Do people still come to the...
Well, here's the way it works now. You still go to traffic school to clear a ticket, but most people do it online. There are very few classes.
I mean.
Right.
When I got into it back in the day, it was all sit-down traffic school classes for 8 hours. And now, my thing was, I got associated with the first comedy traffic school in California.
Wait, I've seen, it's improv traffic, improv?
Well, I used to teach them too, but the first one was called Lettuce, like a head of lettuce, Lettuce Amuse You Traffic School.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was associated with them and taught for a number of years, then got involved with improv traffic school.
I used to work for Levity, which owned all the improvs across the country.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So for some reason, I would see, I was like, what is comedy and traffic? These are two things that, for sure don't belong together.
But you see, but that's the thing. They wanted to make it more palatable for people that had to go.
Of course, I see why they did it.
And
it's,
I actually,
as a marketing perspective, for sure.
Yeah, so I didn't mind every few years when I'd get a ticket going to, you take a day off, you go to traffic school.
Honestly, I think the most greatest thing would be comedians teaching traffic school.
Well,
you know,
as
download
away.
An episode by Joe Rogan. I mean, hello, people would just get pulled over so they could go on a traffic.
Here's the problem with comedy traffic school, though. I used to train the instructors for improv traffic school when I worked there, and I had to sit through their first couple of classes. And some of them, the emphasis was on comedy and not on teaching, and they would do some of their 2 a.m. blue comedy club material that really shouldn't be discussed.
You're right. You're we have 3 16-year-olds in the class.
Don't do jokes about body parts in traffic
save
school.
Your rape
not the
jokes
place
for
it.
Not
you know? Yeah, exactly.
You know,
right?
So they got carried away a little bit.
Get
those
a little
comedians.
Carried away in the comedy classes. But hey, you know, it's serious stuff. If I stand in traffic school for 8 hours reading to you from the vehicle code book, you're going to slip into a coma within minutes, you know. So just blending in the comedy, a little humor, a little audience participation makes it go a lot faster.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Well, that's awesome, you know. So are you a California native?
Yes, I am. I've lived here. I've never lived more than 10 miles from downtown L.A. That's
really?
Either very sad or very cool. I'm not sure which.
I think you should brag about that.
Should I?
Well, yeah. It means you're happy where you are, you know, and that's a good thing.
Well, I mean, it's L.A. We have everything here.
Let me tell you, I've lived in multiple parts of this country. You don't need to leave anywhere.
Yeah, right. Nothing else.
I used
to
live
for,
in
right?
Florida. I lived in the East Coast. I lived in New England. I'm from Vegas. You know, I've traveled to other countries. 10 miles outside of it's the place to be.
We have everything here: amusement parks, mountains, beaches, Mexico, anything you want.
We got
to
Mexico.
Do.
Really? I mean, we have the best Mexican food.
That's true.
You go to Florida, it's so hard to find quality Mexican food. They have Cuban food down there, which is different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the influence.
Well, I tried to get Mexican food in Indiana once, and it tasted like something out of a school cafeteria because they don't know what Mexican food tastes like.
There's a lot, I feel like, in Indiana that, you know, you just couldn't, you know, get in Indiana.
If you go to a state where they can't pronounce the word jalapeno, you're not going to get good Mexican
food.
Food,
they pronounce it with a hard J, you know?
Or tortilla or something.
Exactly. This guy come in here asking for tortillas.
Give me
no
a
Mexican food.
Give me a jalapeno.
Yeah,
it's like, no.
Jalapenos.
No. Sorry.
I know, but some people,
we ain't got no Mexico food, not round here, you know.
Yeah,
that's right.
Go down. Some people still haven't figured out the name for the Greek dish, like gyros or gyros.
Okay,
or whatever.
I had an ex-boyfriend who called it gyros, and that's why he's my ex-boyfriend.
Right,
sorry,
right.
I'm
that's
like,
not
I
the way.
I cannot culturally date someone.
Right.
I told he's like he and I was like it's gyros. It is.
It's gyros, right?
It's just, but that's because you're Israeli. You get it.
But
you
also,
I mean?
Not only that, but no, I don't think that had to do with it. I think it has to do with the fact that you hear it once. That's enough. How many times?
But that's because this ex is from New Jersey. They didn't eat stuff like that. Which I'm like, dude, you're so close to New York. Of course, they have gyros every. But for some reason, like, there's a part of New Jersey that just, like, culturally got skipped over. Like, they just eat sandwiches up there and Philly cheesesteaks. They don't know about gyros and hummus and like.
But I've heard people mispronounce it on Food Network. How do you qualify to be on Food
that's
Network?
That's a fail.
If you can't even pronounce that.
Dude, that's like getting trained, like personal training lessons from a trainer that's like out of shape. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
exactly. Yeah.
I'm not going to learn.
Or a fat doctor that tells you to lose
100%
weight.
100%. Yeah. Or stop smoking.
Or a matchmaker who's single, you know?
And
things
divorced.
Like that. Or divorced.
Yeah.
Like, don't try to tell me. That's like a.
Show me rather than tell me.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I love Patty Stanger. I think she makes for great television. But like, girl, you got to practice what you preach.
Exactly.
Why
and
isn't
I have
it
a
work
few
for
of those.
You?
I know a woman who's 50. She'd never been married, and she's still a matchmaker and a relationship expert.
I think she's good at what she does, but like, it makes me sad that she hasn't found someone to like validate all of the knowledge that she knows.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe she's just so rich she doesn't want some guy coming after all her dough.
No,
she
you can tell she wants to find love. She dates these dudes, but like no one ever matches up to her. Maybe she's just a lot of personality, you know?
She is.
And I think like sometimes men are like intimidated by women who are like kind of like that alpha strong.
Like overshadow them
right,
or something.
Right, because they have to even, I think she needs to find someone even more established than her, otherwise the balance is off, you know.
No, that's true, and that's why often, you know, people marry someone who's equal to them at least in income or
and
worth.
Maybe that's why it takes later on in life for some people, because they work so hard, you know, they haven't been able to find someone who matches them, you know.
Right Yeah, plus if you never got divorced, you probably have more money than someone who has gotten divorced a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Well, every time you do it. Well, I've been divorced twice, and it went pretty easily.
That's awesome.
Because I just waited until
love hearing happy success divorce stories.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've got two also.
I always heard that the guy gets screwed over in the divorce. Yeah. And I was very young at the time. So the first wife came to me and said, "Oh, I think we should get a divorce." I said, "Okay, go ahead. I'll sign it."
Yeah.
And she paid for it and did the whole thing. And I signed it and done deal. no alimony. We didn't have any kids, no child support, nothing. Second time, same thing. Get a divorce, I'll sign it. Boom. Easy.
Was it their was it their driving skills?
Well, no, we were both pretty good drivers. It was other issues. The driving wasn't the problem.
Okay.
But speaking of driving, I mean, you know, that's another thing about California. We have so many drivers and so many cars, and that's why it's such a big problem out here for everybody. You know, you go to, we were talking about other states.
Yeah.
Well, Miami, the drivers are kind of crazy, mm-hmm. let's face it. I was
drivers
down in Miami a few months ago.
Drivers are crazy everywhere in their own way. You know what I mean?
And every place is different, though, you know. Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, don't you feel like you go out of, you go to other places, you come back here, you realize the traffic is relatively tame here.
Well, can I just say, I grew up in Vegas. I learned to drive at 17. My parents waited. But I went to college all on the East Coast. And I think that's what made me a great driver, because in Vegas, I would never have to learn how to drive in snow, black ice, rain, of that shit. Yeah. And I lived in Vermont for 2 years, and I had to learn as a desert chick how to, you know, what four-wheel drive means, you know, like how to, you know, what happens when you start to, like, hydroplane or whatever. Yeah. You know, you have to learn these skills. And if you don't have them, that's what can get you into you know,
trouble. Yeah,
trouble.
I agree. And you know what? Ironically, I lived in Vegas in the 70s, and I remember it snowing there one day. It snowed,
which is
in
once
Vegas.
Every 7 years it happens, but now with climate change and everything, it seems to be happening more often.
Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was driving in the snow. The car was skidding all over the place. I don't know why I even bothered driving, because I'd never driven in snow before. And I was on lewds at the time, too. Okay, this
was
like...
Dude, this is like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, right? Sam. Jesus, they write that movie about you? Jesus.
There are a lot of personal confessions
coming out
right
now. I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
No, but that's the way it was.
I'm going to have to Photoshop you in that.
I was so fucked up, man.
That's hilarious.
Driving in the snow and in Vegas. That's why I thought it was ironic when you brought it up.
Well, no. And when I lived in Florida, because I lived there for 4 years, how to truly drive in rain, because there's, you know, rain in New England is not rain in Florida, because out of nowhere, 5 minutes, it'll be sunny. 5 minutes goes by, you're driving on the freeway, torrential downpour. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, you have to learn how to, you have to know how to drive in all of these situations.
That's true. And here people don't know how to drive because they don't have to know, maybe,
and your
right?
biggest mistake is being scared and doing something out of fear, which could ultimately, you know, end your life. So,
well, and here the problem is it's not the people. Well, a lot of people don't know how to drive. You're right. But some people know how to drive. They just don't choose to obey the law.
Right.
And like now, for example, well, do you guys know what the current law is with cell phones?
You can't touch them. You can't even be on them.
And what else?
Text.
You can't text, call, or anything. They have to be hands-free. Bluetooth, right?
Your phone has to be in a bracket mounted on your dash or embedded in your console or suctioned to your windshield. Yeah. And people are still holding them in their laps. Yeah. And you can come to any red light. And when you come to the red light, look around you, and everybody's head in their car goes down to their lap.
Are you kidding? I drive by cops who are on their cell phones, and I'm like,
but they're allowed to be.
Yeah,
texting and driving?
Yes, they're exempt from the rule.
Yeah, because they're cops, you know. But I can tell you, at this intersection right here, a cop will pull up next to you on a bike as you're at the red light, give you a ticket.
Or on a horse.
Right. On a horse? Well, yes. I haven't seen one here.
I saw one last week. Two cops pull up on a horse, and I was like, I am not going to get fucking pulled over by a horse cop at all. That's just so on another level.
It'd be more
low.
Fun to see a horse cop on a high-speed pursuit something.
Literally, I kind of, knock on wood, I don't want it to happen, but if I did, I would, like, that's such a good story to tell, like, for a stoner chick on stage. Like, I got pulled over by a cop. On a horse.
Well, but I've had people in traffic school that say they got pulled over by a cop on a bicycle. I'm thinking, what are you driving?
Yeah.
That you can't outrun a Schwinn.
I know. You know? A Schwinn. What are your thoughts on self-driving cars? Because we were talking about this with someone, but do you really think they're going to be better than human? Like, it's going to get rid of... You know,
well, no, you know, nothing's 100%.
I feel skeptical. Yesterday the internet went, internet was down. What happens if the internet goes down and 100 million people are out in their cars, and, you know, what do you do?
Not only that, what if your car gets hacked?
Right.
They're already talking about hacking self-driving cars. Somebody hacks your car. You think you're going to work, and you end up on the way to TJ or something.
Exactly. I don't like it.
But I think actually the first self-driving cars will probably be more like cabs and Uber and things like that.
I know, but that still is like fucked up to think.
Not most people.
The idea that, I mean, they just hacked our Equifax yesterday. Right, I mean, they have all of our social security numbers.
They've got everything.
I wasn't in that group. I checked the list and I wasn't in the group.
Oh, they have a list?
You can go to Equifax and type in your name. And believe it or not, your social security number. It's like, do I want to give them any more information?
Right.
But you put in the last, I think it was 6 numbers of your social and your last name, and it tells you whether or not you've been compromised. Now, according to their website, I have not been compromised.
So that's cool.
That's a good thing, but about 140 million people have.
Oh, my God.
Have.
Right.
Can you check my...
Yeah, I'm going to go there right now and see. But I don't have your social security number.
I'll give it to you off air.
Yeah, we'll do it later. I mean, you can do it, right? Just like I can. You don't need to give it to me.
And then there's another site that set up a one-click way of suing Equifax. You just go to their site, click, and put in your information, and you can sue them instantly for, I think it's $12,000 or $15,000.
What?
For compromising your...
Shit. I need that. Hack me.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Don't.
Yeah. So
there goes $15,000 for you, right? I mean, you're not getting
it. I'm not compromised, so I can't sue, I guess. But a lot of people will, and they're making it easier to do that. And I think it's truly probably the beginning of the end for Equifax, you know. So
really?
We'll see.
Something like that. That's fatal.
That's
huh?
a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Because they're the company that's supposed to protect you.
Exactly.
And they're the ones that
That's what I'm saying.
Hacked.
What happens to the people that are, you know?
They've got the most information on you than anybody else, you know?
And anytime you get compromised, if somebody steals your identity or uses your credit or whatever, then you go, and speaking of driving, let's say you go out to buy a car. You know, and you have a hard time getting a car because your identity has been stolen. Somebody ran up a bunch of charges, you know. Maybe somebody goes out and buys a car in your name. Who knows?
Right, my mom was a victim of identity years ago before the internet was even, like, a thing. Like, someone took her card and started shopping in places like Walmart. She doesn't shop. She goes to Target strictly. She knew that she had been compromised.
Yeah.
You know, and Kmart. And, like, it's scary.
Yeah.
Fuck up your life.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, for those of you joining us, we're talking to Reed Berry. You call yourself the traffic guy, so we'll call you the traffic guy.
Well, now, it's not that I call myself that, but I was a guest on a TV talk show one time, and that's how they introduced me. And I thought, hey, wait a minute.
You like
that's
that.
That's pretty good. I was sitting back in the green room. There was a syndicated show. This was about 20 years ago called Crook and Chase. And they were syndicated all over the country. And they used to tape in Nashville, but they moved the show here to L.A., and they called me to be a guest. So I'm sitting in the green room waiting to go on. And let's see, Cloris Leachman, the actress, was on. Mindy McCready, the country star, she was a guest. And then they said, and a little later in the show, we're going to have a visit from Reed Berry, the traffic guy.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's it.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to think up a name for myself now. They gave me
there
one.
There you go. That's
so their
awesome.
Show got canceled, but I'm still the traffic guy.
Yeah,
there
you go. The traffic guy lives on.
Yeah, and you take on the name, nobody's going to take it away from you. That's who you are, you know?
That's my identity.
Exactly.
Now there can be only one.
Yes,
only
there
one.
You go. You guys can check Reed's website and get links, and you can email him at reedberry.com. That's R-E-E-D-B-E-R-R-Y. And so we can talk a little bit more about traffic, drivers, right? I think the problem with traffic is that, you know, like, for example, in airplanes and ships and boats, things like that, people get special training, you know. In a car, you don't get special training. You just learn the basics.
Right.
And what happens is that so people don't have the pressure to obey the laws, to be courteous, to do things like this. There's no anything to entice people to be courteous. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, that's true. And it has to do with something called self-talk. And if you study psychology, or you know anyone who does, it's a big topic in psychology these days. They have websites, they have seminars about self-talk, and they say most people have very negative self-talk.
Yes.
And if you do, you're the same kind of person that's going to go out and cuss everybody out on the road. Look at that goddamn son of a bitch
that's
over
true,
there,
right?
And blah,
you're
blah,
miserable.
Blah. So if you can change your negative self-talk into more positive self-talk, you'll be more easygoing on the road, and mm-hmm. you'll let people merge in, and you'll let things roll off, and you won't take everything so personally.
Mm-hmm. Right,
but
exactly.
But it's the whole attitude on the road. And as far as learning to drive, you know, they really should be a little stricter with people out there. I remember when I got my driver's license at the age of 16, I went to the DMV, and the guy literally said, and I say the guy, the inspector at the DMV that gave me my drive test, he said, pull out the driveway, please, make a right. Make another right, pull in the driveway. We literally just went around the block of the DMV and went back in the parking lot. And I thought, and he can tell I'm a wonderful driver
based on that.
Mine was more like I had to learn, I had to show that I could parallel park. I had to like, I was like, I had a serious test in Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And
right.
I went to, and I had,
now it's a lot
I went
different.
To driving, I went to driving, like my mom hired an instructor who came over with his student driver car.
Right.
Because, you know, it's scary.
And that's the thing, you know, this was what surprised me when I came to this country.
And they made you have hours, like in Vegas, you had to fulfill hours
certain
of instruction.
Number of hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's interesting because, in fact, when I'm in Israel to this day, you have to actually go to traffic school, to driving school, rather, and have an instructor teach you. You have to take about 20 hours worth.
Yep.
Then the test is very difficult, both the written mm-hmm. and the driving test. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, you don't get your license. And then I came here. It's like, hey, you're 16. Here, have your uncle show you how to operate the car. Take the written test. Take the driving test, which, like you said, going around the block pretty much.
How did he know anything from that?
Right,
other than
so
the fact I knew how to get around the block and you turn the steering wheel. I don't know.
Exactly. You know? And that's it, you know. But so I'm like, wow, this is cool for a kid. It's great. But then you drive out there, they really have no training, you know. On airplanes and boats, again, they get a lot of training, not in cars. And
it's
I think
easier
that's
to get a license, I think, than to, like, adopt a dog.
Yeah, right?
Oh, I don't know. I did that a couple years ago, and that wasn't a big deal either.
I think it's just different for different people. They see me, they're like, okay, we need several, you know, background checks.
Yeah, retinal scan,
yeah, exactly.
Background check, you know. Mm-hmm. I walked in there and said, oh, I want that little chihuahua right there. And they go, oh, sign your name right here and put your address and have a nice life. And off we went.
They're like, we need your Equifax report, you know.
Yeah, right?
Oh, in that case, you're screwed.
Right.
Yeah, your criminal
so
background. If you ever abused animals or anything.
But yeah, I mean, they need to train people better on how to drive. And I can't tell you, excuse me, how many times I have been teaching traffic school or suspended license classes, which I teach down in Orange County now. But people will say, after I say something about a law, and they say, I didn't know that was a law. I didn't know that. And then I want to ask them, what do you know? I mean, if you didn't know that, what do you know? You know, because I'm talking about basic driving laws, common courtesy, things you should know, things they should have taught you in driver training. Now, I will say that over the years, when I get somebody in class 40, 50, 60 years old, granted, they have not taken a driving test in how many years, and they keep getting renewed by mail, and you know, so okay, I understand that maybe you're not up to speed on all the newer stuff. I gotcha.
Up to speed at all.
There you go. But let's not judge now. Let's not judge.
Yeah,
but
that's okay. You'll get old ones too.
Yeah, I will.
You know, don't make fun.
Quicker than you realize. You know, the years kind of just pass on by. But it's true, and they need to train people better. And there are schools out there. It's like, they have like racing schools and precision driving schools where you can go. Now, they're not cheap. They're, you know, $600-$800. But you pay the fee, and they'll put you in cars and take you out on a track and teach you how to recover from skids. I went out to a demo course not too long ago out in Pomona at Fairplex, and they had cars with skid rings on the back. And so you'll be driving along, and they'll say, okay, turn right. And as soon as you turn the wheel, the back end starts skidding because you have these metal skid rings, and then you have to recover from the skid. So they did more of that. And that was part of a teen driving course. But Doug Herbert, he's a race car driver, and he started a company called Brakes. which stands for be responsible and keep everyone safe. And his two sons were killed in a car crash. Mm. And that's why he started that organization to teach teenagers how to drive safely.
Yeah.
And I went out and met Doug and spun around on the skid rings a little bit. And if they had everybody do something like that, we'd have better drivers on the road, I'll tell you that.
I think so. And I agree with your philosophy about people having negative thoughts and stuff because, you know what? You're out there. It is not personal. People don't understand this. Think when you do it, okay? Let's say you cut in front of someone or this. Do you even think about it the next second? You don't care. You're moving on to the next thing.
Right.
So if you, as the quote-unquote offended driver, keep thinking about that and think, fuck this guy, I'm going to catch up with him.
Right.
And I'm going to do this and that. You totally blow it out of proportion.
Can I tell you that when I was in Florida, I pulled into a CVS and this guy was like slowly backing out of a parking spot. So I pull around him because I know from driving through timing, I have enough time instead of waiting for his slow ass to pull out
right.
to go around him. He got so mad at me. He got out of his car, came into the CVS and started harassing me
wow.
because he thought that I was going to hit him. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what kind of person takes time out of their day and is so angry to go into a store and harass? Like, he was following me up and down the aisles.
Wow.
I had to get the CVS guy
yeah,
to
right?
walk me to my car because I'm like, dude, you just... People like that will go crazy. People will kill each other.
Yeah.
There's cases of people shooting each other just over a traffic thing.
Right,
so.
And they don't understand. It's not... they don't think
I'm like,
less
dude, I wasn't
you.
Doing, yeah, like, I don't hate you. I'm
right.
sorry that I, you know, you
right.
had to pump on the brakes for
and
a second.
Plus, if I'm going to be harassed, I want to be harassed somewhere better than CVS.
Yeah,
you
come
know?
On. Like, somewhere in public in front of, like, an ex-boyfriend or something, you know? Just
exactly.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But
it's true. It's true. And also, one thing I do in my class is I will ask people, what are your pet peeves? What are the things that bug you that other drivers do? Oh, you know, they cut me off and they flip me off and they do this and they do that. And then I turn it around and I say, okay, how many of you have ever cut somebody off? And they raise
yeah.
their hand. Flip somebody off and they raise their hand. I go, see, you do the same thing.
I flipped right. someone off on the way over here.
Yeah? Well, you see, yeah, we do
I
that
thought
too,
I recognized
so.
You.
No, it was a woman who literally just, you know, cut. Oh, no. I was signaling to get over and she just
right.
you know sped on up and I'm like all right
yeah you see we take it personally but she would have done it to any car it's not you that,
I don't think
that's
it's
the point
I 100% agree she would have done it to anyone
right
but I also would have flipped off anyone so,
right
you know
right.
what I mean
exactly.
it's not
well, there
personal
you go. You're
it's
equal
just,
opportunity
you know
yeah.
exactly
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But I think when you do that it's like you take poison because you want to punish somebody else, you know? It doesn't make sense. They don't give a shit. You shouldn't give a shit either. Just move on with your day, you know? It's just
well, not only that, but keep in mind, a lot of people on the road don't like driving, and they just do it because they have to.
Oh,
and if you don't
true.
Enjoy driving, it's not going to take much to piss you off once you get on the road. And so a lot
really?
Of these people out here, they're doing it because they have to, and they don't really enjoy it. They don't want to be on the road.
And they're driving to a place they don't want to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
yeah.
true. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's true, because I enjoy driving. You know,
I do,
so.
Too. I mean, yeah. when I want to relax. Some people get stressed out driving. When I want to relax, I'll go for a drive.
Right, me too.
And
well,
I love driving.
I mean, driving is different than driving in traffic.
And yes, yes, absolutely.
You know, going for a cruise, going for a drive along PCH, that is
that's
peaceful,
I think what we mean,
right?
you know.
But
yeah.
Like,
but driving on
when
the freeway,
when you have an hour commute every day, which I did for a while, I mean, I want to literally kill myself.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree. That's why I live
I got
miles
middle
from
fingers
work.
Left and right. I need a therapy session after each day.
Now,
you
some
know
people
I mean?
Are listening going, only an hour? I wish I had only an
right.
hour commute.
Well, it was an hour there, but on the way home, it was between an hour 15 and an hour
oh,
and a
yeah.
half. And it was just like, you know.
That's terrible, man. That's
yeah.
a long time to be in the car.
Well, I
going
used to.
Bumper
I,
to
but
bumper.
It's exactly the bumper. It's it, and that's the thing. If it was just straight shot, that's fine.
Exactly.
But that's the worst kind of traffic to be in to fall asleep.
Or if you drive
and if at
stick
the end of
the
day,
shift.
Yeah, which
oh, I drive good. Stick.
I would never.
Because if you drive stick shift and you're stuck in traffic for an hour, you
right.
just want to go mad because it's shifting and
yeah.
stopping and shifting
but
and
who,
stopping.
But who still drives? They're just performance cars, and these guys are crazy for even thinking, you know, because, who else drives
Honestly, I thought, like, the stick shift died in the 80s when, you know what I mean? Like,
an automatic came out.
Like, we get it. You wanted to be a race car driver professionally, so you settled for, you know.
Exactly.
Well, one of the other things.
A Tercel.
Yeah, there you go. You know? One of the other things I do is write car reviews. So the car companies send over. And it's a hard life. The car company sent over really cool new cars for me to drive.
That's awesome.
And sometimes they send over cars. They are performance cars or sporty cars, and they have an automatic transmission. I think, what's the point of that? That's the kind of car you'd want to have a manual transmission.
Exactly.
In. But so many people demand automatic because they don't want to be bothered, you know, shifting. But a lot of the nicer cars... allow you to shift either way. So you can use automatic or the one I just had, it was a Lexus. You can use paddle shifters and shift it manually and, you know, go get a little sporty if you want to.
True. Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, we talk about traffic and everything, cars. Traffic is a major part of living in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it's a major part of living in every big city. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, I mean, it's everywhere. You have that bumper to bumper during rush hour. There's no question about it. But the you know, what remains is that we have to deal with it all the time. What I realized is you got to somehow put yourself in a calm state of mind and take your time. You can't be rushing all the time because that's when you go crazy because the traffic's not moving. Mm-hmm. And then so you become obnoxious on the road because you start changing lanes all the time and weaving and trying to. I mean, you know those drivers that always have to be like the fastest on the road and they'll stop at nothing, no blinking, no turn signals. They just drive on every lane, right? And you go, this is dangerous. And then you realize that the next a few minutes later, you're ahead of him.
Well, and that's true. And on the way over here this morning, as a matter of fact, there was a Dodge Charger that blew past me at about 100 miles an hour. And I thought, where are you going to go? There's traffic.
Right.
And so, you know, just it's a little window where he could drive really fast. But then I look up ahead and he stopped right there because, you know, you can't go at that time of the day in the L.A. area that fast because the freeways don't move that fast.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. So you've lived here all your life. You've had plenty of time to see that traffic patterns change. And,
well, yeah, because you mentioned rush hour.
Yes.
And now, see, you're much too young, but we can remember a time when...
She's 16, by the way. Nobody knows that, but...
Oh, well, there you go. And
we'll go with it.
There was a time when you could refer to rush hour, and what people meant was in the morning and the afternoon, Monday through Friday, because that's when most people went to work and came home.
Right.
That was rush hour.
Right.
Now, in Southern California, rush hour is... 24/7.
Right.
It's in the morning, it's midday, it's afternoon, it's evening, it's late.
Right.
Night.
But you know what? I got to say, it's really not because I noticed if you drive like after 8 p.m. or something, right? The traffic really is lighter. I mean, in some places, yes, it's still, you know, you go near
unless
the airport.
Unless you get an accident.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With
there's
all those cars
accidents.
On the road, though, statistically, I feel like that's why sometimes you'll be driving at midnight and there's traffic.
Yeah, because like, there's accidents and stuff. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because there's traffic all the time. It doesn't stop. What you mean is 24 hours a day there's traffic here. But I do find that there are some times where you can find somewhere to drive where you can actually enjoy it, you know, drive on the canyons, going to Malibu, things like that, you know. That's and there's plenty of great drives in Southern California. In California in general, you know, you go up north as well, and we were talking about driving up north. You drove to Sacramento. How long is that drive? 10
well,
hours
that's
or something?
No, it's about 6 hours.
How can that be? It took me 6 to get to San Francisco.
Well, it's about the same distance-wise.
It is?
Not that much difference in distance. But and it's not a bad drive. It's just a boring drive because, you know, along the way, you don't see much. I mean, if you're doing the coastal route going north, it's one thing. That's kind of scenic. But going the faster way up the 5,
right, it's just farmland.
Quicker, but it's farmland. And you know, yeah. I stopped in some little town called Feuerbach for lunch. And, you know, it's like, what's Feuerbach? What is that? And there's, you know, a few places to eat and a gas station and a Dairy Queen and nothing else. And then you get back on the road and keep going. So, but at least there wasn't too much traffic going up there.
Yeah,
you know? So it was a nice little, and plus I was in a brand new Lexus. So how bad could it be?
How
got the climate control and the stereo going. And yeah. I didn't even realize until I looked at the dashboard, the outside temperature was 107.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happened to me on the way back this weekend. Because you're in the car, you don't realize. You leave San Francisco, it's cool, right? Mm-hmm. You turn on your air, and then you drive a couple hours, you pull over, you don't realize, you go outside, it's like, wow, this is like the desert. Mm-hmm. And so I totally relate to this. I just made that drive.
I couldn't even believe it. I looked at the thing, 107, and then I stopped to get something to drink somewhere, and it was 107.
Oh, yeah.
I opened the door, and it was like walking into a sauna.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like driving from Vegas to California.
Vegas, yeah, stopping in Baker.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah, with that huge... They have a huge thermometer there.
Yeah. The world's largest thermometer.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to stop at the Mad Greek, get my
strawberry milkshake with the little umbrella in
hell's
it.
Yeah.
And the euros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the gyros.
And the gyros,
But it gyrates, yes. Wow.
Yeah. Well, driving is an interesting thing. And, you know, I think that's why my career, I've been in traffic safety now for 30 years, and I think the longevity is due to the fact that I'm in California. I mean, there's always going to be bad drivers, people with tickets, people with suspended licenses, and, you know, there's a never-ending flood of customers to keep me working, you
100%.
Know.
That's true. Yeah. But, you know, talking about the problem of traffic, to me what really concerns me is the future in L.A., on the roads, because there's not much more to expand, not much room to expand, and maybe no time. We're running out of time. I mean, it's not like you've seen them starting to build new freeways. What I'm saying is, and yet you see so many new cars on the road every day. We are a car culture. We buy new cars every 2-3 years. There's so many out on the road. I can't imagine that just as many are retired because cars last so long. How is this going to end? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you something, and this is something I mentioned in a class I was teaching over the weekend. If they decided to build a new freeway today, it would probably open in about 30 years.
Right.
It took the 105 freeway that goes from Norwalk to LA Airport. It took them 35 years from the time they said, let's build it, to the day it opened.
Really?
So when you think, not all freeways take that long, but some do.
Right.
So it's not like they can just, you know, say, let's build a freeway, it'll open in 2 weeks. You can't do it.
Right,
you can't
exactly.
Do it that fast.
So what do we do? What do we do here? Because it's only going to get worse, right? I mean,
well, yeah, you've
people
got more
are going to say enough's
more
enough.
Cars, and then, you know, you've got... You had the politicians who gave driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants. You know, it puts more people on the road.
Yeah.
And so it's a never-ending battle. Then you have the same politicians who do, and I know around the country other cities are doing this too, and it's a big disaster, especially here. They're doing what's called a road diet, where they take away driving lanes to put in bicycle lanes. Excuse me, I'm not riding my bike to work. I work 30 miles from home.
Exactly.
You know?
And then they take up the whole friggin' lane, and it's okay. Who is the friggin', you know?
I don't know why they... Who's
making those decisions?
That's such a terrible idea.
Horrible idea.
And LA is such... Well, the thing is like, they really should just build a separate... I feel like more people would bike to if there was a safer... place for them to bike. I mean, it's such a terrible idea to put them between parked cars and driving cars.
Oh, I know.
Right.
Crazy.
But then you put them in, you give them a full lane, like you were saying, and that's terrible because they block
No. I'm not even thinking. Like, I'm thinking maybe, like, somewhere along, like, there has to be something. I don't know.
Right.
Just,
no, you're right.
You know?
But to give bikes a priority over cars is ridiculous.
Well, there's that, but also we got to start thinking about alternate, because, like, we can't keep relying on gasoline. You know
no,
what
that's
I mean?
True. But,
so but do you know how they have the bike path along the beach?
Yes.
Utilize the coast, perhaps. I know that doesn't really work for inland, but, like, you know, something...
Yeah.
They have it all the way up, down through Redondo, Bennett, you know what I mean? Like that bike path. So
yeah. I don't know, but nobody's gonna take bikes here in LA. We have a car culture. No. So to ignore that and make and give priority to bicycles over cars, I mean, I see this all the time. Look, you go here on Woodman, it tells you bikes can use the entire lane. It says there on the sign.
Mm-hmm.
What gives here? I mean, what
is it? Well, here's the thing. In California, bicycles are treated as vehicles, and they're supposed to obey the same laws as cars, and they can ride in the lane, and they can go over in the left turn lane to make a left turn and do all that junk. And they kind of get in the way, but that's where they're supposed to be riding, and they're supposed to ride with traffic, not against it, and, you know, there's bike laws, and people don't know it. There was a guy riding a bicycle the other day. And I was pulling out of a 7-Eleven because, you know, you got to get your Slurpee fix every now and again, you know. I'm pulling out a 7-Eleven. This guy comes breezing by on a bike on the sidewalk. In the city I was in, it's not even legal to ride a bicycle on the sidewalk.
Right.
But when I told him that, he didn't seem to know that. People think, you know, you're like a 6-year-old. You're just supposed to keep riding on the sidewalk your whole life, you know.
Well, but you know what? When I do bike, most of the time on the main streets, that's what I do. I ride on. That's why I only go late at night when there's no people on the sidewalk if I do ride my bike. Because I'll tell you why. You're talking about driving with the traffic, riding with the traffic. To me, that's scary. I don't know what's happening behind me, even though I have a mirror on my bike, but you feel you can't avoid anything. If someone just texts or even looks at their phone for a split second, they veer a little bit off the road, they hit you, that's it, you know? So much for the bike lanes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and one of the funniest things I saw, well, it shouldn't have been funny. It was kind of sad and dangerous, actually, but it was funny at the same time. But I was coming off a freeway off-ramp, sitting at a red light waiting to go. And I looked to my right, and I see a bicyclist coming the wrong way. And then I look the other way and see a bicyclist coming the right way.
Right.
But neither one was looking straight ahead. And there was a head-on bike collision, and they both fell off their bikes. And I'm thinking, where's my... I go, I can't shoot video right now, or this would go on America's
Funniest
Home Videos.
Beyond the injuries, just like the ultimate looking like a freaking idiot, that would be painful to me.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
Yeah, it was the craziest thing to see, but I could see it coming. You see it coming, and they're coming, and they're not looking, and then bam! And
I saw a great video of a woman. This woman, like it was like a road rage incident or something. Or you know, you drive by someone on their phone, right? And you're like, this fucking idiot, she's gonna get into an accident. Sure enough, saw this woman sideswipe right into cars because she was on her phone.
Wow,
it was like
wow.
the greatest karma
you've
ever seen.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're totally out of time. And Reed, thank you so much for joining us.
That was awesome.
It was so
You're
much
amazing.
Fun. You guys are so much fun. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. You're welcome back anytime. Give people again how they can find you, your website.
Well, my website is reedberry.com. Got some information on there. And then the company I teach for is called NTSI.com, National Traffic Safety Institute. And they've been in business for about 40 years, so it's a good company. And I teach suspended license classes at Santa Ana College in Orange County.
Wow, there you go. And nobody better to do that for you than Reed.
Why, thank you. I will accept that.
Okay, there you go. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Rachel.
Always.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.